I got kind of an odd message tonight, but anyway, that's okay. They're probably all odd. They probably say, yeah, you got an odd message every service. But that's okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let me see if I want to read the text yet. I thought I did, but maybe I don't. Yeah. Verse 1, the Bible says, follow after charity. We know that word to be love from the study we've been doing already. And desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word here tonight. Each one that's here again, we praying for you to speak to our hearts, that our hearts and minds are prepared for your word. Lord, nothing's accomplished through us. We understand that. And Lord, so we know that you can work. Lord, anytime we gather together, we know you're amongst us, of course, and in our hearts if we're saved. And Lord, that your word won't come back void, and we're thankful for that. So speak to us tonight in Jesus' name, I pray. The title of the message is Edification, Exhortation, and Comfort. We see three things there. We went the last like 3 weeks, so I was looking at the word charity, which is love. In chapter 13, we were talking about how the importance of love, that the doctrinal things and all those other things aren't anything if we don't have love that goes right along with that. And right above the last thing, it says in chapter 13, it's right above verse 1 of 14, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, which is love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. We understand that to be love. And so we see tonight, I want to look at this word, particularly this word edification. That word edification means to build up, to lift up morally, or even to instruct. You can use it that way for instruction. We see the word again over in verse 26 of that same chapter. It said, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things, it says, be done unto edifying. So we see that. Now just remember, like I said, Paul had finished his teaching on that great chapter on love about that, about love just before this. And you know, I talked about that as being agape love, God's love, and the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. So, and he gave the, you know, how love is in verses 4. He gave you the characteristics, what it's like, suffereth long in 13:4, and is kind. It envieth not. It vaunteth not itself. See, look at that right there. I love my other Bible. I got a different kind of a Bible. Well, when I had an old Schofield, old Schofield 1, when I had that Bible, the way this lined up in the book, if you went right straight across, it said, charity vaunteth not itself. And then in verse 4, if you look where verse 4 is in chapter 14, it said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. It said up here that love, real love, vaunteth not itself. But it said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So we see something a little bit different there. So we see the characteristics. It went on, it said, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, charity never fails. So we see the characteristics of love. So if you're filled with the love of God like that, if we're filled with that kind of love, how could you do anything else but edify somebody else, build up everybody else? How could we not do that? And as Christians, we're all filled with the love of God. What would we be doing for everybody else that we'd be building everybody else up? You couldn't help but do it. So we see the key again, being filled with the Spirit of God. You're going to be filled with the love of God, and you're going to do what God actually commands us to do. That really, we already talked about this, that kind of love's an impossibility in the natural man, but it's a possibility, it's a probability, or maybe even a definite thing if we're filled with God. You have to love. I mean, you just would. It would be God loving what we couldn't do as the natural man. And then it says, let me give you this. I'm getting ahead of myself. So the product of love is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts produces a lot of different things. It produces some things. I'm going to talk to you about two of them tonight. I only got like two things. The number one thing that it produces is unity. Back there in verse 26, I just read it. It says, "How is it then, brethren, when ye come together?" Didn't say if ye come together. It says when ye come together. So here was the church. We had the church. Do you know in the New Testament that there was no such thing as a believer that wasn't part of a church? There was no such thing. Everybody that were saved, you look in Acts, it said that they were added to the church daily, such as was being saved is the way I think it's worded. Those that were being saved were added to the church. There was no other thing. There was only one church. Boy, just think how great that would be. Think about this. Buckhannon, not a big place. But just think, if there was only one church, of course this would be it, but I'm just saying. Just think if there was one church and all the Christians that was in Buckhannon, just in Buckhannon. Just think if we were all in just one church right now tonight. It'd be a buzz, man. I mean, it'd be a buzz. Might be a battle, but if we were all filled with the love of God. You know why there's 59 different churches? Because they wasn't all filled with the love of God. You know the old story about the guy been on a deserted island? Been out there for years. They finally found him, and they rescued him, and they got up there, and the guy had three buildings. He said, "Man, where are these three buildings?" He said, "Well, that one's where I live." He said, "What's that?" He said, "That's the church I go to." "What's that one?" "That's the church I used to go to." He was living on an island by himself. I mean, that, you know, that's what it is. Now, he got mad at his own self at one church, got to go to the other one, right? But here's the thing. Now, part of it's doctrinal things. Doctrine things got sideways. How'd that happen? Satan got his hand in there, started messing everything up. But just think about it in the early days. Say this was Buckhannon. We was in the New Testament, you know, in that region right there, and there was one church right here. Just all the Christians in this area right here. And crying out loud, as many churches, brother, that don't have a pastor, we might as well get them all right here. Just get them all down right here, man. We got one. Ain't a real good one, but we got one, right? And here's the thing. Just think of the buzz, man. I mean, we'd be all filled in here tonight, man. And I mean, it would be, oh, man. I mean, we'd be filled up. We'd be building on the other end down there. Building on to the thing. We could have it. If that's what we, now we're all watered down, stretched out. Can't get a whole lot done, or, you know, just because of the percentages and all that I talked about this morning. Doing things. So there was no such thing as a believer that wasn't in church. They met every day back then. Why'd they do that? Because it was a natural thing. No, it was really the supernatural thing, but it was the natural thing for the believer. Because the natural man that was a believer was now a supernatural man, and he was filled with the love of God. So where did he want to be? He wanted to be around the other brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? Because they were filled with the love of God, and they were edifying him, and he was edifying them. Instead of, you know, knocking everybody. And I mean, man, so like you want to get around people like that. Love is a very attractive thing. It just draws people. Somebody loves you, man. You want to be around them. And that's the key right there. And, of course, and you listen, all the powerful things that God has, Satan attacks every single one of them. Man, I mean, he's going to try to keep us from loving anybody. He's going to try to keep us from showing the love. He's going to get our temper riled up. He's going to get us in the flesh, and we're going to act like the world. And, you know, man, then we got to build another church for that group. You know, we got to get another one going. And so they wanted to come together, and they came together, and God had a purpose in that. God had a purpose for coming together. He did. And so over in Ephesians chapter 4, I'll read something to you here. In chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, Paul was writing this. This is to another church. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Hey, I'm telling you what, you get filled with the love of God, you're going to walk worthy of that calling. With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing, here it is, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then right on over, if you keep on trucking just for time, and we get to verse 11, right down there a little farther, he said he gave some, talking about the churches, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Pastors and teachers. Notice there's an and there and not a comma between pastors and teachers, and that tells us that the pastors were also the teachers. For the perfecting, that means maturing, of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for, here it is, the edifying of the body of Christ, till when? Till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what he said there. Now look, up above we see in verse 3, it said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. That's something that they had. And it said, till we all come to the unity of the faith. That comes secondly. You have to have the unity of the Spirit before you have the unity of the faith. And we come together for the perfecting of the saints. Sometimes we get it backwards. We want everybody to have the unity of the faith. Now, this is another reason why we got a lot of different denominations, because there's not unity of the faith. But there still can be unity of the Spirit. You know what? I can have unity with somebody from another denomination. I mean, if they know the Lord, if I know they know the Lord, they might have a few things messed up that maybe we don't agree on that, but that's all right. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm just saying they're wrong, but I'm not saying they're not saved, but I'm saying, you know, we can have the unity of the faith, and we ought to have that, or of the Spirit. We have that first until we all come to the unity of faith, because then we're all going to know one day when that happens. Now, the unity of the Spirit is the basis of Christian fellowship. It always is. Now, the second thing that we see about this unity, there's a purpose for unity. I mean, listen, how are you going to have love and unity? It's really, you can't, if it's got to go together, right? You can't have love and disunity. That's not going to, love of God and disunity. That doesn't work out very well, right? But there's a second thing about the unity. And this is what we see right here. When we see that they came together, when we come together, he said. Hear me out. There's no individual believer ever comes to the fullness of the stature of Christ by himself. See what it said in verse 12 of that text? The perfecting of there was apostles, prophets, which we don't have either one now, but we have evangelists and pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, you can't be edified by yourself. You sitting out in the woods, I can worship God sitting out in the woods by myself. You could worship God, but you can't serve God. You can't edify me. I can't edify you really either. I mean, we can't edify one another. We can't build each other up. And so that's another reason that we have the church, and the reason that we come together for that. And so it takes the whole Christian church. Everybody's got a part in that. Everybody, that's why God put us together. That's why Jesus died for the church. That's why he's coming back for the church. That's why the church is the bride of Christ. You know, this is what he intended. He puts us together to build one another up. And so we all have a part to contribute to the whole. That, you know, that's what Paul's telling us right there. So this is a good time right here to ask yourself a question. I found this out when you're preaching. You got to get people to ask themselves questions. They got to think. I know you don't want to do it because you have to think. And, you know, it's hard. but we have to think. What am I contributing positively? Or you could ask yourself, what am I contributing negatively? But that might not be bad either. But what am I contributing positively toward the goal of the edification of the church, of the believers? What am I contributing? How am I going about that? So we think about that. So we've got this edification process. And then another thing that when the church came together then, and what we come together, and part of the building up, we have sharing. Back in 1 Corinthians 14, that verse 26 comes up again. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. let all things be done to edifying. So when we look at that right there, when you read that, it says they come together. Here we got a meeting. Okay, so when you come together, every one of you, different, not everyone had the same thing, but have a psalm, a song, a doctrine, something they want to share, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. They would speak in tongues in those days. I'll talk to you about that in a second. But they had all these things to do to edify. How different is that? We can tell, or we can conclude by looking at that, that this wasn't a regular meeting like we usually do, where we're going to come together and we're going to talk about hunting and guns and football, and then we're going to get up here and we're going to sing a couple of songs and take the offering up, and then the preacher's going to preach to us, and then we're going to close in prayer, maybe have the altar call and go to the house. This was a meeting that they got together, and everybody, this church, had something to share. I mean, man, they were bubbling over with the love of God. I mean, something had gone on in their life that day, probably, because, like I say, they didn't wait a whole week till they showed up. Good night. They'd never get out of a meeting. If they only met once a week, living like that, they'd have never got out of the meeting. Man, you'd have been there all night because everybody. So what it is, it's a group of people that all got, and everybody's got something they want to talk. Somebody's got a song. Somebody's got a testimony. Somebody's got a Bible verse that spoke to them that day, and they want to share it. And they're like, ooh, 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 they just can't wait. And that's what, when they got down there, you start seeing some order of things here. They had to get it in order, man. Everybody can't talk. Wait, 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 it's my turn. You know how it is, and somebody going to cut you off and finish it all. And so this is what it was. It was they were just bubbling over with God. And I've been trying lately. I've been doing some things on Wednesday night. I've done it Wednesday night. Even did it on a Sunday night, I think, a while back. I said, hey, somebody tell me what God, somebody, something that's happened, you know, where you got a testimony to share. And sometimes a couple of people got something to say, man, you can really feel God. And then sometimes we got the crickets, you know. Somebody tell me something that happened. Chirp, 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 chirp. Crickets are chirping. Nobody's got anything. Everybody's looking around like, huh? See, so it's not the same. Danielle had it. You had a really good testimony. Brian tried to get you to say something about it this morning. I started to ask you. I said, hey, this would fit in with my message too, about her little trip down to Florida. And she had something to share about that. Did you want to share it? I'll just keep going. You want to say what happened? Huh?
I can.
Tell what happened. It'll fit right in what I'm going to tell you. Well, wherever. Beer the water. Yeah. You want a mic?
No. When we were leaving to come home, we stopped at a restaurant and ate, and it was me and two other ladies, and these other two women and an older gentleman came in, and we're going to sit at the table beside of us. We started talking. The older gentleman started talking to us because they were supposed to go see the hostess before they sat, and so he asked where we were from, and, you know, we told him why we were there. These girls were just
Yeah, amen. And the thing was, listen, not everybody that they're searching, but they don't know where to look, and they don't know to get a book. At least she got a book maybe that got her brain ready. But God uses people, man. I mean, he can use people to write books too, but not everybody's going to do that. And they might be people looking, and so just because they brought up the fact that God had got them together, and I mean the testimony. So there's a good testimony to hear, because that's how the church was built. And man, it wasn't that Peter and those guys were, you know, just such a dynamic preacher that, you know, 1,000 people came to hear him preach. It was because the whole church was going out and living Christ out in the world, and the love of God was shed in their heart, and they were talking about the Lord, and they were talking about the Christian fellowship, and people wanted to come see what it was. And so that's how the church got built. It wasn't by the pastor, I'm telling you that. And it's really not by us, but it's by God working in us, and it's us out there on the ground, out the front rounds, grounds there. Look, if every one of us here, you know, talked to somebody about the Lord and got them to Christ, I've said this every Christmas or New Year's Eve for 27 years. Every Christmas, you know, if we got one person, you know, we would double in size, right? You know, the math goes on and on. And so it just keeps snowballing like that. And so we see this is what happened this church service. Like people came in like that. And boy, they had something to say, and then somebody else had something to say, and somebody said, hey, I want a song. I want to sing a song to you. And they wanted to sing. And and they sang, and somebody else, you know, said, boy, I read this verse the other day. I read a great verse the other day myself, too. And Psalm 37, man, that's a good verse in Psalm 37, and I'll share that with you one maybe Wednesday night. But anyway, all those things happen. So, you know, when you think about in John chapter 1, I think, in John chapter 1, there's the story of two disciples who had heard John the Baptist preach, and John had looked at Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God. And Andrew was one of those guys, and Andrew was so excited about it that he followed Jesus to his house. When he got there, before he got to his house, he said, where dwellest thou? I love this. He asked Jesus, said, where do you live? And Jesus said, come and see. How about that? Boy, if you ask Jesus where he lives, he's going to say, come and see. I'll tell you where he lives, right here. And he said, they went and abode, Andrew and the other guy, which I believe is John, they went and abode with Jesus at his house. And boy, when he left, just can you imagine abiding with Jesus at his house? And when he left Jesus' house, guess what he did? He ran and found Peter. And the Bible says that he went to his brother was Peter, he found him and he said, we have found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. It don't say that Peter had a bunch of questions, a bunch of doubts, oh, you're out of your mind, I don't believe you really found Jesus. He didn't have a big argument with him. He grabbed him up and he said, you come on. Why do you think there's not a big argument from Peter about them finding the Messiah? Because 90% of the Jews didn't want to believe it. I'll tell you why, because he probably looked at Andrew's face. He could hear it in his voice. He could see it in the excitement in his life that, hey, man, something's happened to him. Something's happened. He's found somebody. I got to go see what it is. He went to see. So even people, if we have the love of God and the excitement of God in our life, they might not believe what we got to say, but they might come on down and get together with the other believers to find out, you know, what's going on, if they're going to see that. So that's exactly what happened. And so, you know, I love it the way it worked like that. He was full. He was bubbling over about that. So we need to be filled with God. We'll be filled with the love of God. And you know what? We'd have that kind of a meeting. We'd get here tonight and somebody say, preacher, man, before you go on, I got something I want to say. I'm going to tell you what God did today. Man, he was just speaking to me. And then you have a story to tell, something that's not 40 years old. You'd have a brand new story to tell. You'd have a verse. You say, boy, this verse really spoke to my heart. I want to share it with the church. Something that's God's doing in your life. Somebody would say, listen, we got a song. We want to sing a song. We got something to share that with the church. For what? For the edifying of the church. Doesn't it build you up when somebody talks to you and they say, boy, this is what happened. Just a little simple conversation like that we got to talk to this lady about the Lord, and she spoke up and said, wow, man, God's doing something I'm trying to find. I mean, you go, wow, that can happen. Yeah, it can happen. It happens a lot more often than we hear about if we were filled with God, you know, and talk about that. And so it wouldn't be, the problem they had, it wasn't the cricket sounds. The problem was is getting everybody in order so that they could, you know, get it all out. And that's how the meetings, it wasn't like, oh, brother, man, it's, you know, he's already been going an hour, man. We got to get out of here right now. You pass time, you preach 15 minutes longer than you, wasn't nobody thinking about it. Nobody was worried about it. It just kept going on and on. You hear about these meetings that go on and on. Why the fill of God, man? Nobody could get done with it. So everybody there was about to bust, and they had to get things in order right there. Now I want to share you, this is a little parenthetical thing, and it's talking about, you know, talks about tongues right here in this verse right here. It said he talked about speaking in another tongue. It's not an unknown tongue. Unknown is in italics if you got a real good Bible, and that means that they don't have an exact word to translate into unknown. And the word that would be fit better, I think, would be another tongue. It was just another tongue. It's like if all of a sudden I started speaking Japanese, and you guys know good and well I don't know no Japanese other than, you know, high karate or, you know, chop suey or something like that. But that's probably not Chinese anyway. Or Japanese, that's Chinese. But you guys know it, and you would, you know, if you knew, and when I spoke in another tongue, and then somebody could interpret that right there. So what was going on with all that? Well, you know, when I came along, I was in very, like, legalistic independent Baptist movement, probably when it first got started, and there was a reason for that. There was they really protected church doctrine. They protected Bible doctrine to the max. A little short on worship, a little short on, maybe a little short on love, but doctrine, man, they had it square. And but the thing was, they would come up with some crazy ways to explain, oh, tongues wasn't a real thing. No, it was a real thing. It was real. Had a purpose. Doesn't have a purpose today. And I'll show you why. And show you what happened. Now, here's what happened. It said, and I found when Pastor Frink left out of here, he had his bookcase and he cleaned it all off. And I was going to paint in there one time before this last time we painted up. And there was one of them old cases when they used to go to a meeting and they had the cassette tapes in them. Remember how they put them all in groups? And it was from a guy named George Gardner. Is spelled G-A-R-D-N-I-E-R is how he spells his name. He wrote a book called The Corinthian Catastrophe. You can still get that book. He's a good pastor. And he taught on this. And Sherry and I sat down and we took notes on the tape teaching. And then he had a question and answer period at a church that was probably thinking that tongues was for today, but he had a question and answer thing and answered every question the best I've ever heard, explained it the best, the only thing that ever makes any sense. And so I learned what I learned from this right here. But this is what he said. He said, I'll tell you about it just to kind of help you with your own thought right there, what was going on. Remember what I showed you? He said, Paul's saying, listen, follow after charity. Follow that, and desire spiritual gifts. Now, the way that's written, it sounds like we should desire spiritual gifts, but that was the Corinthian church's problem. They were desiring, everybody wanted the flashy gifts. Nobody wanted the gifts of administration. Nobody wanted the gifts of giving. They all wanted the gift of speaking in tongues. Everybody say, oh, look, there's brother so-and-so. He's real spiritual because he's speaking in tongue and or this gift of interpretation. They wanted that. What he's really, the way it really would be worded is like this. Follow after charity, which is love. You are desiring spiritual gifts, but he said, I'd rather that you prophesy. And he went on to talk about it. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue or another tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. Now, what is our topic tonight? Edifying the church. If you're speaking to God, you're not edifying me, especially if you're speaking in a language I don't understand, unless somebody interprets that. And he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification. What are we supposed to do? Edify, exhort, comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. What's it say over here about real love? Vaunteth not itself. So we see that. It was kind of an early church thing for a reason, because the early church was Jews. They were Jewish. And so and then when Paul went on later, he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. That was the thing. And I'll show you what happened here. I'll clear it up. I'm going to give you the condensed version just a little bit. So let me show you the who, what, and why of it all right there. The key is in verse 21. 1 Corinthians 14:21. This is what he said. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. That's the key. And yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. This is the key verse of the whole thing. Okay, in the law it is written. What does that tell us right off the bat? If it's in the law it's written, it tells us it's written in the Old Testament. We know that right off the bat. It's written in the Old Testament. He said, in the law it's written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. Almost every time you see that phrase right there in the Bible, this people, it's talking about Jews. So he said, with men of other tongues and other lips, I'll speak unto this people, to the Jews. And then it says, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. So we see it's written in there. It seems, and then look, listen to this. Pay attention, you'll get confused. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. And then he said, therefore, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers. Now remember up here in verse 22, it says, it's not for them that believe. Tongues weren't for a sign that didn't believe, but those believe not. Down here it says, if those that come in unlearned and unbelievers, will they not say you're mad if unbelievers come in? So you say, well, brother, that sounds contradictory. On the first verse, it says it's for unbelievers. In the second verse, it says, the second verse I read you, if they came in, that people that are unbelievers, if they hear you speaking in tongues, they're going to say you're mad. And then when he said, but if all prophesy, there come in one that believeth not or unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. So pretty much is what he's saying. If there's unbelievers present, don't do it. There wasn't to do it. All right, we'll explain all that because, man, you really got me confused now. And the Bible looks like it's contradicting itself. It's not. Back right up. In the law, it is written, Old Testament, with men of other tongues and other lips, will I speak unto this people, the Jews. Okay, wherefore, tongues are not for them that believe, Jewish Christians, but for them that believe not, Jewish Christians. Down here, it says, if there come in those that are unlearned. Now, who is unlearned in the Old Testament scriptures? Gentiles didn't know, or unbelievers. So they're not Christians either, but they're Gentile unbelievers. See, there's a distinction. The two verses of Scripture, I wrote it down here somewhere, Isaiah 28:11-12, and Deuteronomy 28:49, and they're not the only ones. There's a couple of more verses, and I got them written down somewhere else, and I couldn't find them, and I can look them up if I wanted to, but those are enough for you. In the law, it is written. It's where it's written. And this is what it was. God says, listen, I'm sending you Jews a warning. And there's going to be, and the warning is, there's going to be, and there was nations in the Old Testament times that came and God used them to judge the Jews. When they did not understand their language, their tongue, they didn't understand it. He said, that's a sign, judgment is coming. And then he tells them here that most of the early church was Jews. And he said, when you come together, and he said, somebody speaking to it in tongues, those Jews knew, the unlearned, the Gentiles didn't know the Old Testament scripture, didn't mean anything to them. The Jews knew when they heard somebody speak with another tongue that they didn't understand and it had to be interpreted, they said, man, they remember those Old Testament scriptures that God said he was going to pass judgment. It was a sign of judgment. Remember, this is before 70 AD. What happened in 70 AD? Titus the Roman came, he destroyed Jerusalem, they raised it to the ground, and tongues ceased. Why? Because if I warn you, and then the judgment comes, I don't need to warn you any longer. The warning's over. Tongues ceased around 70 AD, the apostles died, and then the Bible was canonized. There wasn't any need for tongues to be spoken anymore. It was a sign for the Jews. If you want to simplify it, it was a sign for the Jews. And so up here, tongues are a sign, not for them that believe. Listen, the believers didn't have to worry about judgment, but to them that Jews that believe not, they would know what it meant because they didn't believe the word of God. Jesus, he had said right up there, Paul said, for all that, they will not hear me, saith the Lord. The Lord said that in verse 21. So it didn't work, right? And then he says, here, listen, if you're speaking in tongues and there come in those that are unlearned, those Gentile people come in that are unbelievers. They come in. They don't know what them Old Testament scriptures mean. You start speaking in tongues. He said, they're going to say y'all are crazy. They're going to blow on out of there, right? So that was the difference. That's the main difference of it all. And you can see what happened. And historically, tongues did cease. Started back up around the turn of the century, 1900s. Guess where they got started? In a Baptist revival meeting down in North Carolina, somebody said, oh, the sign gifts are coming back. George Gardner said this. He said, I can get a group of people together. He said, if they were willing, if they were open-minded, I'll have them speaking in tongues in 30 minutes. People speak in tongues in voodoo. The old Egyptian religions, they spoke in tongues as well. It's a psychological phenomenon that can be produced. George Gardner said that him and this man were, they were in Bible college together, and it was a charismatic Bible college. Said every morning, the dean of the school would get up, and he would give the message, and without fail, somebody would stand up and speak in another tongue. Somebody would stand up and interpret that tongue. He had his roommate. They were talking about it. They weren't sure about it. He knew his roommate was Jewish. He said, and he asked him, he said, do you know any Hebrew? He said, yes, I only know one thing. He said, I think he said he knew the 23rd Psalm in Hebrew. He happened to know that these students didn't know Hebrew. They weren't advanced. Didn't know it. He said, I'll tell you what we ought to do. He said, we can find out the answer to this problem. He said, you, tomorrow morning when brother or the dean, whatever his name was, when he gives the message, before anybody has a chance to say anything, you jump up and you quote the 23rd Psalm in Hebrew. And he goes, oh man, he goes, well, they'll either find out that we're frauds and they're going to throw us out. He said, or somebody will interpret what you said and we'll know it's the real deal. Or somebody's going to misinterpret it and we're going to know what the deal is. So he said, as soon as he got done that next morning, he stood up and he quoted the 23rd Psalm in Hebrew. And somebody stood up and started interpreting what he said. And he started talking about the Lord's going to come back and he's going to judge the earth with a fire. And he was telling all that right there. And he said, they looked at each other and said, we out of here. So he knew it wasn't. But anyway, that's a side lesson on speaking in tongues, because you come across people and they got questions about it. The key is 14, verse 21. It is written unto this people. It's written the Old Testament scriptures. And in those days, listen, they didn't have the Bible. No Gentile knew that. And so I always take them. People that say, I said, all right, explain this to me. Right here it says it's for unbelievers. And down here it says if you say it when unbelievers are present, they're going to say you're mad and not to do it. Now explain that to me. And they can't do it. They can't do it. And so now I'll explain it to you. And then you tell them and you show it to them right there. Just a little side note. Thought I'd throw that in there because I never preach a whole message on that. I'm never going to probably preach a whole message on that right there. Fit in right here. It says we were on this text right here as well. And so that's the whole answer to that. But the point is this. When we get a little farther, along in the text, back to the point that we're on right here. The point is in here, in this time, and even in that day, even when that was, that it had a place. It was in the early part of the church. The church was mostly Jews. That thing ceased because we became a man. We have matured past the foundation part of the church, and we produced. But the thing was with them that shouldn't be any different. They had this sharing meeting, and the people were about to bust. And man, they wanted to say something that what God was saying, what God was speaking. And somebody had something to say. Somebody had something to sing when they got together. So. That's how it really, we all ought to have, God ought to be working in all our lives somehow, some way. And he could work more in all of our lives. He could work more in my life. If we were just willing and we were readily available to the working of God in our life. And so, coming together with a song in our heart and a testimony that God was working in our life and a verse, man, why? The outcome of chapter 13. This kind of really still goes with what I was talking about with love. It's the outcome of that chapter. Everything that happened right after, right on that, this is what would happen. Everybody building one another up. Everybody was, and everything had to be done decently in order. And so the love of God shed abroad in her heart. Think about this, and I'll be almost done. How many churches or how many Christians have never participated in a meeting like that? I mean, I have. I've been in meetings where, man, somebody had something, a testimony we used to do once in a while. Here, just a few Wednesday nights back, we had some, Stephanie had something to say and somebody else had something to say. You could feel God moving in that service right there where just how God was doing some things. And I think, listen, any time that God's done something in your life, don't be afraid to share it. Don't get out of order, maybe talk to me about it ahead of time so we can get everything done. But I mean, we need to share that to him. Why? Because it encourages somebody else. See, encouraged that story like what Danielle had. She just being at a dinner table and somebody was sitting over here next to them and it gave them an opportunity. You know, they struck up a conversation. That's how the church did it. They started striking up a conversation. Think about that. You know, I think that we're all in need of that kind of experience in our Christian life. Otherwise, like I said this morning, it's going to become stale, stagnant, routine, mechanical, dry. Man, I mean, it's not. We're not getting any new experiences. So, you know, bubbling over with the, I probably could have outlined this way. You know, bubbling over with the presence of the love of God in our life and then building up the brothers and sisters in Christ, building up the church, the edifying of the saints. Man, that's why we all come together, even like while we're here tonight. And so, you know, that's what it's all about. So, you know, we examine ourselves. Where are you? You know, how is it with you? How is it with you? Could you say, oh, yeah, I'm going to find myself. I'm just bubbling over with the love of God in my heart. You know, oh, I think I hear a cricket. I'm hearing a cricket. Are we bubbling over with God in our life? You know, we can be, man. We talk to God. You know, pour your heart out to God and let God pour his heart out into you. Amen? All right, like I said, a little bit different outline tonight. Just trying to get a point across with a little side lesson in there since we were right in the middle of it and I didn't want to skip it. And, you know, so I kind of explain what I've learned. And there's a lot more to it than that, but that's the gist of that. And hopefully that'll help you down life's way if you ever wondered about the tongues deal and what the scoop was with it. But like I said, and Paul even said it, listen, you can preach a whole message to me in Russian and it wouldn't do me a bit of good because I don't know what you're saying. Huh? And in those days, they showed the presence and the power of God by those things, but we've got the Word of God and we have the Holy Spirit of God now as a permanent possession, which, you know, and we've gone past the, which they did too, but it's gone past the foundational part of the church. Amen. So hopefully let's think about as, you know, encouraging each other and then also sharing not only amongst ourselves, but even amongst the world. People that are lost, they need to know about that God is, you know, God's on the throne. Amen.